Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station of children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dole's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and Wendy's.
I hope you're ready for what should be a really fun night of sports on television. Big Bet Bennett, do you like sports on television?
I do enjoy sports on television, yes.
Tonight's going to be a good night then. We've got a high-profile NFL game, a college football game with local ties, and an elimination game between the two winning franchises in Major League Baseball this season. Happen to be rivals as well. Lots of stuff going on. We're going to talk about all of it in a second. First, though, quickly, we set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Stephen Johnson going to join me. Covers Tiger basketball program for the Daily Memphian. Might have heard, Memphis Madness was last night. Stephen Johnson was in attendance. I'll talk to him about that and the Tigers in general. He's going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Cuckoo Kyrie jumped on Instagram Live last night to explain his current situation. Talked for about 24 minutes. Said a lot of nothing. Didn't really help himself in any sort of tangible way. I'll update you on that story around 4:44. The Pelicans made it official this afternoon. Zion Williamson will not be available to start the regular season. I'll give you the details on that a little later on this hour. The Memphis Grizzlies lost in a preseason game last night, or at least a bunch of guys wearing Memphis Grizzlies uniforms lost a preseason game last night. I'm over the preseason.
Yeah, me too.
I'm done
way over.
All right,
let's
go.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. All right, I've had enough. We'll spend a few minutes on that just before 5 o'clock. And the St. Louis Cardinals are looking for a new manager, and that's because they fired Mike Schilt today, despite the fact that he led the franchise to the wild card game. Dude was 19-4 in what turned out to be his final 23 games. Regardless, fired today for what was described by the general manager as philosophical differences. We'll get into that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cox is just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go. Get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with what should be a really fun Thursday night of sports on television. Big Bet Bennett, do you like sports on television?
I love sports on television, yes.
Well, then I got good news for you, because tonight should be great, and really for three reasons. One, we got a college football game on national television with major local interest. Two, we got a GOAT on TV playing professional football. And three, we have an elimination MLB game involving the two winningest teams in the sport this season who just so happen to be West Coast rivals. More specifically, at 6:30, we have Memphis versus Navy live from what will soon be known as Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium. That's on ESPN. Then at 7:20, got Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly on the road. That'll be on Fox. And then at 8:07, we You get Game 5 of Dodgers-Giants from Oracle Park in San Francisco. The winner advances to play the Atlanta Braves in the best of seven NLCS. The loser is done. Now, as a reminder, it's 2021. Big Ben, what year is it?
It's 2021.
It's 2021. I say that to remind you that almost nobody with a steady income is reduced to only watching one of these events.
Accurate.
So if you see me tweeting about one of them tonight, please don't ask me why I'm not watching the other ones. No. I swear this happens all the time.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I'll tweet something about something crazy that happened in, say, a Red Sox game. And somebody will be like, GP, you're not watching Alabama Ole Miss? Trust me, if I'm at home tweeting about random things that happened in a game, that means I am sitting in front of multiple screens. So tonight, depending on my parenting duties, at some point tonight, my children will fall asleep.
Yeah, hopefully mine too.
Sooner the better. At some point tonight, everybody will be asleep, and I will have all three games on in front of me, and I'm looking forward to it. These are great nights for sports watching on television. But here's the question for you.
Yep.
If you could only actually watch one, like it was 1980 or something, if you could only watch one, which one you picking? A, Memphis Navy, B, Bucks Eagles with the GOAT Tom Brady,
yep,
or C, Dodgers Giants?
I got to just be honest with you.
I want nothing other than honesty.
Yeah. I'm picking Bucks
Eagles. That's what I thought you would say as an NFL game.
I love the NFL so much. Like, I will watch the crappiest Thursday night football game. And this one's actually not that bad. But, yeah, you put NFL in front of me, and that's what I'm going to pick.
I would not pick it, but I am interested in it. And it's not just because it's Bucks-Eagles. It is Bucks-Eagles with Tom Brady having a historically great year at the age of 44.
Sure.
This is outrageous what he's doing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Do you realize he's leading the NFL right now? I know you realize this.
Yes.
In passing yards?
Yeah.
He has 1,767 passing yards through five games.
I think he had like over 400 last week. Like, it was something completely stupid.
He's on pace for 6,008 passing yards this season.
Yeah.
Do you know what the record is? Do you know who owns the record? Trivia time!
Who owns the... It's got to be Breeze, right?
No, Breeze has led the NFL in passing yards per season more times than anybody else, but he does not have the highest season total. Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
5,477 in 2013 when he was with the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
That's the record. Drew Breeze is second, fourth, fifth, sixth, and 11th.
Jeez.
But Peyton Manning is one with 5,477. And right now, Tom Brady is on pace for 6,008 passing yards.
That's unbelievable.
He is on pace to smash Peyton Manning's record. And he's not just on pace to smash Peyton Manning's record. He's on pace to smash it at the age of 44. Do you realize when New England wouldn't give him the contract he wanted? Some of it, at least, was rooted in the idea that he's not going to be able to...
He's going
to
decline, sure.
He's not going to be very good that much longer.
Man, I bet they feel dumb.
It turns out if you just put pieces around Tom Brady, he can still do the job.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
What made it look like he might not be able to do it when he was 41, 42, is they didn't have proper pieces around him. And so then he looked like he did look like he was falling off. He did. You go back, you can find those conversations on First Take, First Things First, wherever. Is Tom Brady reaching the end? And now he's having an all-time great season, 2 years after all of those conversations. And I'm not certain it's because he's gotten better. I just think that in New England, at the end, he had nothing.
No, he was throwing to N'Keal Harry and an injured Julian Edelman.
What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And in Tampa Bay, even with Gronk hurt, and by the way, Gronk has been ruled out for tonight, he's got weapons.
Yeah.
And the byproduct of that is this. He's on pace right now for 6,008 passing yards, 51 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 66% completion rate, 14-3 record at the age of 44. Unbelievable what he's doing. So I remember when I was much younger. That was nice. I would often say things like, yo, this is Greg Maddux pitching in a NLCS. Like, you know, you're not going to have this forever. So it's appointment television because you get to watch an all-time great on a big stage. And you know that he's not going to do this forever. And given his age, might not do it that much longer. Mm-hmm. Might not ever see him on the stage again. Obviously, you're going to see Tom Brady on big stages throughout the rest of the season. And I assume at this point for seasons to come. But it's pretty special opportunity when you can watch a guy who is widely considered to be the greatest of all time at his position still operate at this level at this age.
Yeah.
So Bucks-Eagles is terrific. I figured that's what you would pick. It's not what I would pick.
I know what you would pick.
We're about to combine to be the...
I know, the Memphis haters.
Well, no. I don't. I hope nobody would interpret that that way. But, like, you're going to say... the NFL game, and I'm going to say the Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, obviously I'm going to watch that too. But you made me choose one.
And this one got a little more interesting this afternoon. I don't know if you saw this. You know, we talked about it a bit yesterday. The Dodgers were supposed to start Julio Reyes tonight. That was the plan. But earlier this afternoon, they announced that they're going to start Corey Knebel, which is a bit of a surprise, largely because he's not a starter.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, I'll explain it to you. It's actually interesting. He's normally a high-leverage reliever. You bring him into seventh inning, two on, nobody out. You got to get us out of this. He's that guy. He's their Josh Hader. And he has 262 relief appearances in his career and four starts. He is a relief pitcher. But he's now starting an elimination game in the NLDS against a rival. And the explanation for that is this. The Dodgers are doing this because the Giants, if they start a lefty, will stack the batting order with right-handed hitters.
Okay.
Julio Reyes is a lefty. Corey Knebel is a righty. And when Arias started game two against the Giants, seven of the eight position players for San Francisco hit right-handed against him. Now, here's what you got to understand. There are three positions where the Giants alternate between lefties and righties, depending on whether they're facing a lefty or a righty. It's second base, right field, and left field. So, Dave Roberts decides we're going to go with a opener, not really a starting pitcher as much as an opener tonight, mm-hmm. and we're going to make him right-handed. And if the Giants want to take their second base left field and right field positions and throw lefties in there against the righty, then that's fine. Because they're going to have to then, second time through the order, face a lefty in Julio Reyes. Or you've got to start using pinch hitters very early to get back into righty-lefty matchups. And that obviously damages your bench in the second or third inning. You're using pinch hitters on position players. That's not normal. And so if San Francisco says, well, we know you're going to Arias next, so we'll go ahead and start right-handers in those positions. We'll still load up our lineup of righties because we know you're going to Arias next. Well, then Dave Roberts just says, okay, cool. Well, then in the first inning, we get a bunch of righty-righty matchups. And then we don't have to go to Arias next. We can go with another right-hander. So it's a little bit of some chess being played by Dave Roberts. We'll see how it plays out. Mm. But either way, tonight it is now official. Corey Knebel against Logan Webb inside Oracle. And the Giants are now minus 115 on the money line. The total was 7, so the Dodgers are underdogs in this elimination game. The reigning World Series champions, underdogs in an elimination game. Starts at 8:07. You'll be able to watch that one on TBS. So you would pick NFL. I would pick Major League Baseball. But luckily, this is not 1980. It's 2021. We can watch all three if we want to.
Yep.
And so I will have all three on because Memphis Navy is important. Big game for Ryan Silverfield.
It is a big game. And because the thing is like, obviously this season is kind of derailed a little bit, losing three in a row. But, like, what have we talked about for the past however many months? Conference realignment, you know, what's the perception of your football program? And if they get beat up by Navy on national TV, the perception of the program will be they're not good, right?
Well, that just won't be the perception. That will be their reality.
Yeah.
It'll be established. They're not good. I mean, there's a lot of evidence to already suggest, I say this as kindly as I can say it, there's a lot of evidence to already suggest they're not good. I mean, they're 3-3. They're down to 74th in ESPN's College Football Power Index. And if they don't get this one, things get really, could get really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Because you look at the rest of the schedule, counting tonight, they got 6 games left. After tonight, 5. Simple subtraction. You could tell I did second grade subtraction homework last night.
Good job there.
You?
Yep.
The next 5 games after this one are at UCF, against SMU at home, against ECU at home, at Houston, then Tulane at home. And ESPN's FBI only gives them a better than 50% chance to win 2 of those games. It only gives them a better than 38% chance to win 2 of those games. I'll break it down. At UCF, the Football Power Index says Memphis has a 32.5% chance to win that game. They're going to be underdogs there. Against SMU, FBI says Memphis has a 37.7% chance to win. Going to be underdogs there. Against ECU, 73.1% chance to win. You're going to be a favorite. At Houston, only 22.5% chance to win the game. You're going to be an underdog there. And then against Tulane, 71.3% chance to win the game. You're going to be a favorite there. So after tonight, the Tigers will be favorites in just 2 more games based on the current data. Underdogs in 3 of the final 5. So even if they win tonight, based on current projections, they're expected to finish just 6-6. If they lose, the updated projections drops to 5-7. And the Tigers haven't had a losing record since 2013. Haven't won fewer than 8 games since 2013. Those streaks are very much in jeopardy now. And if they lose tonight, those streaks are nearly guaranteed to be snapped. So it's a big game.
Yep.
If you want to go to a bowl for the 8th straight year, and that has been one of Memphis's bullet points, you know, you see in graphics something they speak proudly about. Been a 7 straight bowl games. And that is an accomplishment.
Absolutely.
Especially considering where this program once was. But if you want to turn that 7-8, you got to win a home game against Navy when you're favored by 11. So I'll have my eyeballs on that too. Kick scheduled for 6:30. You can watch it on ESPN. I believe Jeff Calkins will be inside what will soon be known as Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium tonight for that. So I'll talk to him a little bit about it a little after 5 o'clock. We come back, turn our attention to Tiger basketball. Memphis Madness was last night. Steven Johnson from the Daily Memphian was there. We'll talk about it next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
In a surprising move earlier today, the St. Louis Cardinals announced they have fired their manager, even though he took them to the wild card game and went 19-4 in his final 23 games thanks to a 17-game winning streak. Philosophical differences is the reason that the general manager pointed to. We'll get into that story in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, covers Tiger basketball for the Daily Memphian. And Steven Johnson making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm under the assumption last night was your first Memphis Madness. If so, what did you think of the event in general?
Yeah, it was my first time. I'm a lifelong Memphian, but it was my first time there, whether it be as a fan or as a reporter. So for me, just taking it all in, considering last year was virtual or however they did it, I thought it was a pretty amazing event. You know, maybe it went an hour or two, a little bit longer for us, but I think overall it was a great event. I had friends and some family there as well, too. So Memphis spared no expense to put on the show. So I think they did very well from Penny Hardaway's entrance with the slingshot all the way down to the dunk contest. I would say it was a great night for the city.
Yeah, that's always been my, not complaint, I'm not sitting around complaining about Memphis Madness or any other madness, but every time I have attended one, and not just the Memphis Madness, I should be clear, Carolina, Kansas, Indiana, wherever, they go longer than they should. Like, so you could tighten it up a little bit. People want to get there and take it all in. People want to, I think they really do enjoy the introductions. Those are fun. If you've got if you've got money bag, absolutely take advantage of that. And maybe scrimmage for half the time, cut out a skills competition. There's places where you could edit and make it shorter, but if you're still getting big, big crowds to show up for something like that, then on some level you must be doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I think we looked up, it was about 9 o'clock and they still haven't started scrimmaging yet. So, you know, as a journalist, you're thinking about, oh, I might be here till 10:30 or so. But overall, I think the introductions were definitely the highlight of the night. I thought the video package they put together before Penny Hardaway, kind of showcasing that NIT run, plus some of the national attention they got when they got Imani Bates and Jalen. I thought that was really well put together. And of course, they had the whole production with him coming out in the car. So I would say that was the highlight of the night, just over the dunk contest, when, you know, Josh Minot stole the show.
Should I or Tiger fans be concerned that Willie Kemp won the skills competition?
Not really, because in my opinion, it seemed like both the men's and the women's team, I guess. I mean, I thought from watching the NBA, everybody was just kind of just going through the motions right. In my mind, man. So I think the biggest takeaway you should have from those three challenges is Josh Minot, he might be the tallest guy on the team, but he also might have the most bounce because he made all his dunks look easy. So he really impressed me in kind of the challenge portion of the night.
You know, I don't think we could learn much from a basketball perspective last night, but you were in the gym for the pro day, and that is where I do think you can learn some things because those guys are not just competing but auditioning, you know, more or less for – a lot of the people who will determine their NBA futures someday. When you watch that, I think a lot of eyes were on Imani Bates because he is going to play with the ball in his hands this season, according to Penny, more than he's probably played at any point in his life, and he's going to do it as a 17-year-old freshman in major college basketball. From what you've seen and what you've heard based on your reporting, how is that going?
From everything, from Penny himself, he says the transition has been going well, that he's really kind of picked up speed after the pro day. And from the week, I got to watch him at the open practice a week before the pro day and, of course, at the pro day. I think he looks comfortable. You know, I don't think he'll be the point guard 100% of the time or they need him to be a guy that needs to average eight assists or so. But if he's the primary playmaker and, you know, attracting attention, whether it be with his scoring or his playmaking, I think that opens up the court for a lot of the Tigers players. So from what I've seen, and like I said, it's been two practices, so maybe I should take this with a grain of salt. I think he looks comfortable when they are doing kind of those scrimmage portions. He's not a guy that seems to be hunting for his shot. Mainly he's like he's trying to run the offense. He's looking for the open guy. So I would say so far so good, and of course we'll find out in a couple of weeks once they really get started with the season.
Obviously, the AAC preseason coaches poll was released yesterday, and I don't guess it was too much of a surprise, even if it's not the way I would have voted. It came in Houston number one, Memphis number two. I know Penny was asked about that. What did he say?
He gave a lot of credit to Houston. He said Houston deserves it, but of course they're going to take it as motivation. He said they're not going to stop trying to be number one. And I think he kind of looked at the fact that they got voted number two. In spite of having the most all-conference selections, they had four. I don't believe any other team had more than one. So I think that, I wouldn't say a slight, but I think that kind of sent the message that, yeah, we think you guys have the most talented team, but we still want to see you guys prove it on the court. So Penny seems to be embracing it. He says, you know, their expectations are their expectations. So a lot of respect for Houston, and I think that they're aiming for Houston. I think he might be a little relieved that they weren't voted number one because it gives them an opportunity to kind of be the hunted as opposed – I mean, the hunter as opposed to the hunted.
Talking to Stephen Johnson. He is the Tiger basketball beat writer at the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter at Stephen M. Johnson underscore. That's at Stephen M. Johnson underscore. DJ Wagner was in the building last night. He's the top prospect in the class of 2023. He is famously the son of DeJuan Wagner, former Tiger great, the grandson of Milt Wagner, former Tiger assistant, and obviously a Louisville basketball star, also played in the NBA just like Wani. Forever, I think people have assumed that DJ is going to end up at Kentucky with John Calipari, but obviously Memphis is involved. You don't just get DJ and his mother inside FedEx Forum for nothing. And so, you know, how seriously do you think the recruitment of DJ Wagner is by that Memphis staff? Do you give him a shot to actually get this done?
Yeah, I give him a shot. Obviously, Kentucky has plenty of reasons. Going back to when I was a kid, DeJuan Wagner was probably the first Tiger that really registered that I really remember from my youth. So, obviously, there's that connection. That's going to be tough to overcome. But I think what Penny has kind of proven, especially over this last cycle, is that he can make up a lot of ground with guys that are perceived to be leaning elsewhere. And I think just watching the show, I know there was a lot of media, a lot of fan attention on DJ yesterday. I think that was a great message, a kind of a great way to maybe insert themselves a little bit deeper into the recruitment. Like I said, I think Kentucky should still feel really good about their chances as well, too. But you can never count out Penny Hardaway and the staff. They got him on the visit. So anytime you get a player of his magnitude on a visit like that, that means you have a chance at least. So I wouldn't count the staff out, but I would still say it might be a Memphis and Kentucky battle with some other teams maybe appearing later on in the mix.
Earl Timberlake had off-season neck surgery to address a problem that really reduced his freshman season at Miami to almost nothing. Do we expect him to be 100% ready to go? If he's good enough to start, he'll be in the starting lineup on night one, or is this going to be a process?
From what I've from the radio reports and talking to Penny, it seems like he's inching and getting closer and closer to 100%. I think I heard or read somewhere last week that he says Earl is about 90% recovered. He didn't participate in the first open practice, but he did compete in the pro day, and he looked good. He's working on that jump shot form a little bit, so that could be something to watch. I don't know if he'll be starting from day one, but I would be surprised if by the time the season ends, he's not in the starting lineup. If you've seen him in person, like, he's a massive human being, tenacious defender, and you know how much Memphis prides itself on the defensive end. So, and he's another guy that has kind of gotten some first-round buzz. So I think if he can kind of fully recover from that, and it looks like he's getting closer and closer, I think he'll be starting by the end of the year, if not earlier.
Obviously, our opinions can change, mine and yours, mm-hmm. once the season starts and we see it mm-hmm. with our own eyes. But based on what you've seen so far and what you know, what you've heard from people inside that facility, if you had to close a game right now, there's 4 minutes left and you're tied with Houston, what five players do you think you'd put out there?
Definitely Imani and Jalen. I think you have to have Lester out there just for the fact that he's the type of guy that can either get you that clutch stop you need, that clutch rebound, or hit the clutch shot. I think he's on the court. This is a tough question. I think DeAndre's going to be on the court as well, too. I'm really curious to see how him and Jalen fit, but those would be the four guys. And if I had to guess, and, you know, of course it would depend on matchups, I think they might lean Landers right now, and it might be just because, you know, Earl getting back from his health and things like that. But I think Landers, with those guys you have on the court, you have the shooting, you know, you have that spacing at the end of the game. DeAndre, Jalen, Lesson are all, you know, above average or even, you know, great rebounders. So I think that lineup as of today is the lineup they would use. But I still think, like I said, if Earl is fully healthy and, you know, gets acclimated, I think he's going to be in that closing lineup. And this might make some Memphis fans, you know, roll their eyes. I think there are going to be some games where Alex Lomax is going to be that point guard. If Imani is cooking and, you know, and that's what this coaching staff wants, then he kind of seems to be that natural guy to kind of slide into one of those spots and let Imani kind of play more of a guard or a forward spot.
I'm assuming that will happen as well, that you'll look up in the final, say, 10 minutes of a game, tight game, and Alex will be on the court because they want to get Imani off the ball and let him do what he does so naturally, brilliantly.
Absolutely.
I'm wrapping up here with Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. Last thing before I let you go, I was talking with one of my colleagues earlier today, and I said, look, at Duke, we know who's going to be the best player in the leading score. It's Paolo Banchero. At Michigan, we know who's going to be the best player. That's Hunter Dickinson. At Illinois, it's going to be Kofi Coburn. But there's a few schools where I'm not sure. I don't know who's Kansas's best player. I don't know who's going to be the best player at Texas. Who's going to be the best player at Memphis? Last year, I know the leading scorer was Landers Nolley. I think the best player was DeAndre Williams. Obviously, this is a different roster now. Who will be Memphis's most important player? Who will be Memphis's leading scorer?
I think the leading scorer, that is so interesting. I think just Imani is just naturally skilled from the way he shoots the jump shot, whether he's playing point or off the ball. I don't know if the Tigers are going to have anybody averaging 20 a game, but I could see Imani leading the way at, say 16 a game or something like that. They have so many options on offense. So I'm going to go with Imani as the leading scorer. Most important, I think it's going to be DeAndre Williams again. He might play a little bit of a smaller role, but if he can be in that middle and help Jalen on that front court, we know what he can do on defense and how he just really impacts the game a lot, just like Lester as well too. So I think DeAndre will be the most important piece in terms of being that cog that helps the freshmen mess with Lester or Earl, whoever the other guys on the court. So I would go with Imani and DeAndre, I think.
That makes sense to me. I think that would be my two answers as well. That's Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him, dailymemphian.com. He is on Twitter, @StephenMJohnson_. That's @StephenMJohnson_. Terrific work on the beat. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Take care. That's Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. When we come back, while Memphis Madness was happening inside FedEx Forum, Cuckoo Kyrie was jumping on Instagram Live. You think I watched it, Big Ben Bennett?
Oh, I know you watched
it. I jumped right on
it. Come on.
I was like, whatever I'm doing can wait. I want to see if Kyrie Irving can make a good point. He didn't. We'll talk about that next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
Memphis Madness last night inside FedEx Forum. Tiger football tonight inside what will soon be known as Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium. You see how quickly I adjusted?
It was nice.
I'm going to give Simmons Bank his money's worth.
Yep.
Tiger football tonight inside Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium. Jeff Calkins was in FedEx Forum last night. Believe he'll be inside the football stadium tonight. I'll talk to him about it in the next segment. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 444. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Kyrie Irving jumped on Instagram Live last night and said he still hopes to return and play for the Brooklyn Nets, but that, quote, this is about my life and what I am choosing to do, as he explained his decision to not receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Cuckoo Kyrie. Dude, I could not wait till I saw somebody tweet last night.
That he was going live?
Kyrie Irving's on Instagram Live. I'm like, well, I gotta, whatever I'm doing. I don't remember what I was doing, but whatever I'm doing, I gotta stop it. I gotta go watch this.
Yeah.
Woo boy. I'm glad I did. Glad I did. Because if I wouldn't have watched it, I'd have been, I went to bed last night wondering, like, I wonder if Kyrie made some good points on Instagram Live. But because I watched it, I was able to go to bed last night with the understanding that he didn't at all. He has no idea what he's talking about. He said so many words and said absolutely nothing. like even that, the lead quote that serves as the headline for ESPN. This is what I am choosing to do. Okay. Isn't that obvious? Doesn't it go without saying?
Sure.
Obvious, you remaining unvaccinated is what you're choosing to do. That's a statement of fact. It's not an explanation for anything. This dude talked for 24 minutes and never explicitly explained why he's unvaccinated. Never said it. He just talked and talked and talked. And as somebody who does talk for 24 minutes at a time for public consumption, live, very often, I will tell you that I almost never go into it without a very good idea of what I'm trying to say and the points I'm trying to make. Sometimes I even write an entire script. Bennett sits here and watches me read it. Why am I more prepared for a radio show 5 days a week than Kyrie Irving is for an Instagram Live that will be consumed by millions? He's the biggest story in sports right now. He's going to speak for the first time in weeks. And he turns on his camera. He's got nothing to say. He's just talking.
It was a little bizarre.
It was a lot bizarre. I thought even Brennan, who covers college basketball for ESPN, summarized it well this morning. He said, it's impossible to read Kyrie's statement and not be reminded of every random dude at every random party who seemed pleasant enough but not especially bright and who was way too eager to talk about some 9/11 conspiracy video they just watched on YouTube. That's who Kyrie Irving is. He didn't make a single good point last night, and I went into it with an open mind. I was like, maybe he'll say something that makes me go, okay, I get it. And not once did he get there. He just went on and on about nothing. And then presented himself as a victim. This dude said, this was sprung on me and I didn't have time to strategize how I would approach this situation. You didn't have time to strategize? We've been in a pandemic officially in the United States since February, March 2020. It's October 2021. We've had a vaccine available since early in this year. You live in New York City. You didn't think there was a chance New York City might have a vaccine mandate at some point? Like if Luka Doncic was going through the same thing in Dallas and Luka said, listen, I'll be honest, it never occurred to me that we'd have vaccine mandates in Dallas, Texas. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Why would Dallas, Texas have vaccine mandates? It's Dallas, Texas. But you live in New York City and work in New York City. You didn't think there was a chance we'd have vaccine mandates in New York City? You didn't have time to strategize? You didn't think it through? Never once in this offseason it didn't occur to you or the people around you to go, hey, who knows where we're going? Hopefully it won't come to that. There's a chance we could have vaccine mandates in New York City, and that could interfere with my ability to play if I'm not vaccinated, so perhaps I should start to strategize. Although, let's be honest, what does that even mean? I didn't have time to strategize. What? You're not breaking down game film, weirdo? What are you talking about, strategize? Strategize for a vaccine? What does it even mean? He says all these things, and if you could just sit there with him, you would counter him. You would counter him by going, okay, let's stop here. What do you mean? I heard what you said. What do you mean? Over and over again. And then he got into a part where he goes, I just don't understand why everybody's talking about me, why everybody wants to put this on me. You don't understand? You don't understand that? I understand it. Let me help you understand it. Here's why. Because you are the one, literally the only, high-profile NBA player who is about to miss games because of a vaccine mandate, because you're unvaccinated. And you happen to be a member of the franchise that is favored to win the championship. Your teammates with Kevin Durant and James Harden, you don't know why people are talking about you? What are you talking about?
It's silly.
It's incredible to me. He just went on and on and never actually made an intelligent point for his, for the stance that he has taken. But he did, over and over again, say that he is not anti-vaccine. But then he would counter it by saying, I'm not pro-vaccine. Well, what are you then? What? But he kept saying, I'm not anti-vaccine. And I wonder if he's not giving himself an out so that he can say, hey, listen, I just wanted to exhaust every avenue to not be vaccinated. I wanted to make a point about how I do fundamentally think vaccine mandates are wrong. Although, and you get this all the time from people, vaccine mandates are un-American. How many times have you heard that? Seen it on Facebook?
A lot.
Vaccine mandates are communism. What? Do you know the first vaccine mandate was in the United States of America?
Mm.
Take a guess at the year, just to take a guess.
I'll say 1915.
1809.
Okay. I was off by about 100. Yeah, yeah.
This is a country that has had vaccine mandates basically since it was established as a country. So the idea that this is something new is just, it's just untrue. You can Google all this stuff. 1809, first vaccine mandate. So I don't know what the next step is, but he did make it clear that he's not retiring and that he's not willing to give up on basketball. He actually said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said at one point, I'm not going to give up basketball over not being vaccinated. And what that suggests, or at least what it implies, is that he might be willing to get vaccinated so that he can play basketball. He doesn't want to, and he doesn't think it's right. But he might be willing to do it, to play basketball. So we'll see. But it is interesting. The odds have been updated on the Brooklyn Nets today
to
win the NBA championship, and they're still the favorite even without Kyrie Irving.
Interesting.
So if I'm Brooklyn, and I know odds, and first off, I feel good about it anyway, but if I know odds makers think I'm the favorite even without this guy, I'd be trying to trade him for 30 cents on the dollar. I don't care. Just let's match some contracts and get him out of here. Addition by subtraction. I don't know whether they're going to do it. I don't know whether they can do it, but it's certainly what I'd be attempting to do. And if I'm Kyrie Irving, I'm just going to be a little more prepared next time I decide to jump on Instagram Live. If you're going to speak for 24 minutes to try to explain your nonsensical position to the world, you got to be prepared to do it. You can't just talk in circles and say a lot of nothing. But that's what he did last night, and it's how I spent 24 minutes of my life.
Story number two.
Zion Williamson is not going to be ready to open the regular season because of a foot injury. That is what David Griffin, the vice president of basketball operations, announced earlier today. He had foot surgery in the offseason. We didn't find out about it till media day.
Right.
And Griff, even back then, said, we think Zion is going to be ready in time for the regular season. So today, obviously, he was asked, whoa, what happened? Because on media day, you said you thought he'd be ready in time for the regular season. And Griff said, what I meant is, at some point in the regular season. Those are two very different things. He'll be ready by middle of October is vastly different than, it might be ready, at some point in the regular season. Should be ready at some point in the regular season. So this whole Zion New Orleans thing, it's just not going well.
No, it's not going well. And the thing is, too, is like, okay, so let's say that the timetable, like he's healing fine and what. Dude, he's still going to come back and be on a minutes restriction. There's no way that that's not going to happen.
And he's still carrying around 285 pounds.
Yeah,
on a foot that's had to be repaired for a fracture. That's not great.
I just don't see how this doesn't drag out for at least the first couple months of the season.
We just need to get on to the second part of Zion's career, like wherever Zion's going to play after New Orleans. How mad are you going to be if you're New Orleans if finally Zion ends up in New York or wherever, and then suddenly he's like playing at 235 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the, you know, 10 New Orleans Pelicans fans that are out there probably see the writing on the wall here a little bit.
They've had to go through it a little bit. Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, is next one's going to be Zion.
I think so, too.
I do not think he will sign a max extension with them.
No, he'll force his way out. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, they'll put a max extension, rookie mm-hmm. extension, and he will not sign it.
Yeah, I could totally see.
Like, John Morant will sign his.
Yes.
And Zion Williamson will not.
Like, I can see this, you know, I could totally see this. And again, this is just speculation. I could totally see this turning into, well, they've mismanaged my injury situation here, and but you know, I can just see it going that way.
No, I've had three different coaches.
Yeah.
In three different years, they've mismanaged my health, and it's just time for a fresh start somewhere else. Oh, that's coming.
It's definitely coming.
I don't know if it's coming in this season, but that train's already on the tracks. I assure you.
Yeah.
Story number three.
A bunch of people wearing Memphis Grizzlies uniforms last night lost an exhibition game to the Indiana Pacers, 109-107. Sam Merrill was the bright spot for the Grizz. My man trying to keep his job.
How about that?
30 points last night, 11 of 17 from the field, 8 of 13 from three-point range. Zaire Williams, the top 10 pick, he had 19 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, but I think this was the fifth exhibition game, preseason game.
Yeah.
Got one more
in Chicago, I believe. I do think Sam Merrill will keep his job, by the way. I think he's going to be a part of this roster.
Having a shooter at the end of your bench ain't the worst thing in the world.
Right. That's why. You got a skill that you need.
Yeah, just having a shooter at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
Like, they, you never know when you can, you know, because of rest or injury or anything else that could pop up. You just you throw him in a game and he knocks down four threes for you.
Sure.
Like, you know, that does happen. I'm not predicting it, but I don't mind having a shooter at the end of your bench. So we'll see. So one more worthless preseason game, and then we're going to open the season next Wednesday against the Cavaliers inside FedEx Forum. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
I'm done with the preseason. I'm over it.
Over it.
I can't even, like, turn on, like, a Lakers preseason game. I just, like, I don't care. All right? Let's get to where the games count and the stats count, and then I'll be in both feet. But I'm done with this NBA preseason is too much.
Story number four.
Surprising move from the St. Louis Cardinals today. Mike Schilt fired after leading the Cardinals to the wild card game, thanks in part to a 17-game winning streak. My man went 19-4 in his last 23 games and got fired. That's got to be, if not unprecedented, at least very rare.
No, that's a tough scene.
I went 19-4 my last 23 games, made the playoffs, and got fired? They said it was for philosophical reasons. That just means he ain't doing exactly what they want him to do anymore.
Gotcha.
It just means, like, hey, we want you to.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.